Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Larry Robertson's here, too. Larry is a new friend of ours. He's the founder and the principal of Lighthouse Consulting. He's a guy who helps small business owners just like yours put their best foot forward in the marketplace, especially to understand how to grow their business, how to move forward, how to take the next step, which we all need to do. Sometimes the step's backwards. Sometimes it's sideways. Sometimes it's forward. But we all need a little help with that, and Larry's one of those guys who can help us. And he's agreed to join us today to cast some of his pearls before us. And he's our new friend, and he's also a very good friend of our longtime friend, Karen Kerrigan. And as ladies and gentlemen, as you and I know, any friend of Karen Kerrigan's is a good friend of ours. Larry, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you here. And Larry, one of the things that I want to talk about today is something that you're an expert in, and that's small business owners finding the capital that they need. And we talk a lot on the show. I've talked a lot over the years about working with banks, about the importance of retaining earnings so that you can, you know, grow your own capital inside your business. But sometimes the bank, the money the bank gives you, there's a limit to it. They have this nasty thing called interest that they want. They've got this habit. They've got this addiction to debt service. They want the money back with interest. I mean, it's really an ugly thing that they have going there. But we have to have banks. Small businesses can't make it without bank debt. I don't know anybody who can, if they want to grow their business. But then there's this other option that has its own benefits and negative points as well, and that's raising investment capital.
Sure.
Talk to us about that a little bit.
Well, I will just say that I echo your comments, and what's interesting to me, Jim, is that venture capital in particular, which I think most people think of synonymously with equity investment and private investment in small businesses, is one of those things that isn't very well understood by entrepreneurs and small business owners. And what I mean by that is you have certain businesses out there that share your wisdom. They realize what a bank can do for them. And yet they're unaware of some of the alternatives that are available to them, like venture capital, like funding from angel investors, like funding that comes from other companies that would like to take an equity investment. So it's a mystery to them on that side. But the irony are the number of entrepreneurs who think that venture capital is the only capital source that's available to them, or somehow they've been convinced that it's the most attractive source for them because we hear a lot about it, because it has a sexy image to it.
Well, and it's intuitive. It sounds intuitive, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And I'll tell you, folks, here's how you can, if you see entrepreneurs walking around with furrowed brows, not happy, grumpy, frustrated, you know, kicking small animals and things like that, those are entrepreneurs who are trying to get money out of venture capitalists.
Yes, I think that's true. And, you know, so one of the things I always like to do when I talk about venture capital, and this is going to sound a little counterintuitive, Jim, but I spend more of my time trying to talk entrepreneurs and small business owners out of venture capital than I do trying to talk them into it. Now, that doesn't mean that the folks I'm trying to talk out of venture capital shouldn't pursue it or won't it at the end of the day. But what I find, and maybe you can relate to this even on the bank side and borrowing from friends and family and things of that nature, is that most entrepreneurs, and I tend to focus mainly on entrepreneurs in my business, They have a sense that they need capital, or they know they need capital because they see it in their cash flow every day. But they haven't really thought about the broader question of why do they need capital? What is it going to do for their business? Just how much do they need? What are they willing to trade for it? And where is the best source to access that capital from?
So what you're saying is before you preconceive where your growth capital needs to come from, you need to understand why you need it, how much you need, and what you're going to do with it, and then find out who's the best fit for all those reasons.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And you know, it sounds, I can picture in my mind's eye, people in your audience out there sitting there and thinking, oh, but I know all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's knowing it, and then there's really knowing it. And let me tell you what I mean by really knowing it. Ultimately, it's like selling any product or service in your business. What you are selling when you go out to get capital of any sort, whether it's from a bank or from somebody who wants to take equity in your company, you are selling them a product. And the product is the opportunity to invest in your business. And if you can't articulate for them why that's a good investment and why they should make that investment in your business over any other, you're never going to get that capital anyway.
That's right. And the thing is, you're exactly right. And knowing this thing about knowing it, you know, you already love what you do. You're already sold.
Sure.
These people have to be sold, and they're never going to fall in love with you or your idea. They may get excited. They may like what you do. They may give you the money, but they'll never fall in love with it like you do.
Well, you know, you've put that very, very well. As you and I have talked about before, I am neck deep in writing a book about entrepreneurship, and I spend a lot of time in this book talking about misconceptions about entrepreneurs. Some of the people who have the worst misconceptions about entrepreneurs are entrepreneurs and small business owners themselves. And one of those misconceptions is that because they are so dedicated to their business and because they love it so much, they don't even think twice about mm-hmm. the assumption that other people will feel the same way. And I always like to tell
here's one of the ways that I think they might be able to appreciate what you're saying. Folks, you feel that way with your employees. You have what Larry just said is exactly how you feel about your employees. You show up every day. You can't wait to come back. Why don't your employees feel like that? And so it's the same feeling that you're going to get from venture capitalists. When we come back, though, we're going to go ahead and wander over into that world, and we're going to show you. Larry's going to give you a little bit of a tour of what it takes to get some money from venture capitalists. It can be done. It can be a good idea. But you just have to do it right. 20 after, we'll be right back with Larry Robertson. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Dog and butterfly. The faster we run, the further away the dreams and bridges become. Lost in the sun.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog. When you get a chance, they're all right there. And the blog, we'll send it to you, or you can just come get it. And also, don't forget all the other things you can do at our website. It's the most unique, and I think it's the most significant small business website on the planet, maybe in the universe. And I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Larry Robertson is our new friend. He's the founder of Lighthouse Consulting. Larry, you've got a website, and I want you to, have you named your book yet? Have you come up with a title for your book?
You know, I don't have a title for my book yet.
What's it coming out?
As I said, the focus is entrepreneurship and really building a 21st century perspective for entrepreneurship.
When's it coming out?
It should be coming out the beginning of the fall, but definitely sometime during the fall this year.
Okay, so you're going to launch it on this show, right?
You betcha. I'd love to do that.
All right, give us your website, please.
My website is www.lighthouse-consulting.com. Lighthouse-consulting.com.
Check that out, folks, and it's a good site. Okay, Larry, let's say that we've gone as far as we can go with our banks.
Sure.
Or maybe interest rates have gone so high that the venture capital, and that's something I've pointed out to folks lately, is that with the more interest rates goes up, go up, the more venture capitalists start looking, investors start looking good, mm-hmm. for a number of reasons. But there's good and there's bad and there's ugly in venture capitalists. Now, this is not going to be the only time you're going to be on the show to talk to us about this. But for the next few minutes, more segment, give us your best tour of what we need to know just to get started thinking about bringing in an investor.
Okay, so I'm going to hit highlights here rather than digging
right.
deep. The first thing is that there is quite a gap between getting a line of credit from your bank and seeking venture capital. And what I mean by that is usually what you're able to borrow from your bank is significantly less than what you're able to get from a venture capitalist. There are some stepping stones in between, and we can discuss this at another time, but those would include angel investors and what I think of as strategic investors. Mm-hmm. And for those of your listeners who don't know it, angel investors are really high net worth individuals who know a certain market and are willing to invest in it earlier and at a higher risk than others might.
Mm-hmm.
Now, venture capitalists, at least the ones you should be pursuing, are part of a firm, and they represent a pool of money that comes from outside investors, and their job is to make smart investments that get them very, very high return, and I emphasize the very. So, you know,
let me stop you for a second. The venture capitalists are the ones you're going to deal with. They're the ones who are going to fall who are not going to fall in love with your deal.
That's
the people who
right.
give them money to put in their fund. Will never, probably never even, you know, you'll never meet those people, and not only, and they don't fall in love with anybody, let alone your deal. So we're not talking about Aunt Minnie here, right?
Yeah, it's exactly right. And you know, building on your theme of not falling in love with you, here's the key to raising venture capital. What you have to realize is that venture capitalists have a business too, and their business is to get an extraordinary return on their equity investment, and to be able to get that return in a relatively short period of time, which means they don't plan to be in your business forever. They want to get out at a certain point, and when they get out, they expect to gain a very high return. Now, what do I mean by a high return? I don't even mean 30% or 40%. I mean well north of that is what most venture capitalists are looking for. So how do they ensure that they're going to get that? They take an ownership piece in your business, and they take a controlling piece of your business, even if they don't own the majority of it, because they want to ensure that their investment works. So what makes a venture capital deal work is finding the common ground. Where do your needs cross over with theirs? Mm-hmm. When does it make sense for you to take that kind of money, that kind of involvement and interference in your business, and that give up that level of control? That's really where it all, the rubber meets the road.
Well, and also, Larry, it's important that people understand, and maybe you're about to get into this, is that all venture capitalists aren't looking for the same thing.
No, they're not, and that's exactly where I was headed. Is, you know, venture capitalists tend to be finance people, not people who have operated a business. Now, that's not always true, but it's usually true. So what happens is that they get to know certain sectors or industries very well, and really they even get to know subsectors of an industry well, and then they try to buy what they know. So the first thing that you have to do as a small business owner, if you decide that venture capital is appropriate for you, is you've got to go out and find only those investors who invest in your market and in a company that is at your stage of maturity. And that's a very easy thing to find because there are listings of venture capitalists. Mm-hmm. They all have websites.
Do you recommend SBICs? Do you recommend the Small Business Investment Corporations, SBICs?
Absolutely.
And there, folks, their list, you can find that list on the SBA's website, sba.gov. Is there another website for those guys, Larry?
Well, you know, there's a Venture Capital Association here in Washington.
And is there a website you could give us?
You know, I There is. I don't know it off the top of my head.
Well, the next time you come back, we'll have to do that. Folks, you can Google SBIC, and I think you can get a lot of that from there. You know, Larry, another thing, and I've got to wrap it up.
Sure.
If you want to know what a venture capitalist looks like, folks, go to the aquarium. And see, when you see the big fish go by and their eyes look at you and there's no emotion, no personality, that's the venture capitalist. Hey, Larry, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thank you for having me.
Lighthouse-consulting.com. Quick break. Right back with Susan Lacey after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.